Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Caitlin, the sound editor of the Hey YA podcast. Tirza and Erica are taking a break this holiday week, but now that we're at the end of the year, we thought it would be fun to reflect on what they said their most anticipated YA books for 2023 were this time last year. This episode originally aired on January 4th, 2023, so please enjoy the rerun, and we'll be back with a new Hey YA episode next week.
Welcome to Hey YA, from great new books to favorite classic reads, news stories to the latest in on-screen adaptations. Hey YA is here to elevate the exciting world of young adult lit. Hey YA is a book riot podcast hosted by Erica Azzafetti and me, Tirza Price. And you are hearing this as our first episode of 2023, but we are recording on December 29th. But hello, Erica. How was your holiday?
Hi, Tirza. It was restful. It was cold AF though.
Yes, very cold.
I mean, I can't complain because Buffalo, New York got really bad and I feel really bad. I always think of like the people, you know, like people experiencing houselessness and like, you know, the stray animals and stuff. Just everyone who's exposed directly to living beings that are exposed directly to that level of cold. I'm just like, I feel so badly.
Yeah.
It was rough. So I can't complain. I was lucky to stay in the house and be warm and watch Christmas movies.
Yeah. So
that was nice. How was yours?
It was good. It was good. We went to Michigan for the holidays and
ooh.
Yeah.
Cold.
Well, you know, it was actually colder at home in Iowa than it was where we were at in Michigan because of the wind chill. Like at one point our cat sitter, because we left our cats and we had a cat sitter checking in on them every day, and she texted us and she was like, it's negative 40 here with the wind chill. She says, don't be alarmed, but like, you know, I think your pipes might be frozen. And I was like, oh, I'm alarmed. Like this is scary.
So, thanks. I will be alarmed. Thank you.
Right. Luckily, she, you know, opened up cabinets and opened up faucets, and I told her, bump the heat up. I will pay that heating bill. And they thawed out that within like 12 hours, and there have been no burst pipes, so that's good. But like, it was a little sketchy, and I was like worried about all of our outdoor babies. By outdoor babies, I mean the stray cats in our neighborhood. But she was taking care of them as well, so you know, all was good. But we got way more snow in Michigan than when Iowa got, so we got just dumped on. But luckily we got to Michigan before the weather got bad, and we got back to Iowa after everything was cleared, so can't complain.
Y'all had good juju.
Yes.
Y'all had that good winter juju.
Nice. Yes.
Negative 40 though, Jesus, I've never experienced. That's like my aunt lives in Alaska, and that's how I envision Alaska around this time, like negative double digits. It's intense.
Once the weather goes below zero, it is a special type of cold that you just do not want to be out in if you don't have to be. And like negative 40 is also like when your car stops starting. So not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this. And I was like, I still have a residual cough or whatever. I've been sick for like a couple weeks now, probably like 3 weeks. But every time the cold hit my throat, I was like, nope. Because I was like sick also. So I was just like, staying in the house. So I can only imagine being in the negatives. But how was your trip though, otherwise?
It was great. It was lovely. Awesome. So yes, I never read as much as I want to. But
of course,
you know, I am learning to only take a few books instead of all my books. But we do what we can.
Right. I like how you said you're learning. Like, you still haven't fully learned it.
I still
but you're, like, getting there.
I still took 6 books with me back to Michigan, yeah. which I think was an improvement yeah. from last year, in which I definitely took more than 6. And I read Fair. 2 of them. So, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Myself. I'm proud, friend.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. No, that's for a holiday trip. That I think that's solid.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh. Well, and we're going to be talking to you about, just reading and getting excited for the new year. And that is like my favorite part about the new year is just like looking ahead and kind of resetting. And so since it is officially the new year, 2023, by the time you were listening to this, rather than talk about news today, because the week between Christmas and New Year's is a dead zone of news, we wanted to talk about the 2023 reading log, which is now posted on the Book Riot website. And we also did a link in the show notes, so you can just click on that. And it is a way of tracking your reading and generating fun statistics about your reading life. I've been doing my version of this log for a couple of years now and sharing it on Book Riot. And I do a video walkthrough so you can kind of see how it works and how to fill it out and how to customize it for your own reading needs. So it feels like the new year when I actually set up my own 2023 or my own new year reading log. And nice. I'm always tweaking it too. And so, yeah, it's really fun though. And I'm always very like happy and touched to hear from all the people who use it and, you know, make it their own or just really enjoy, doing their own sort of reading tracking inspired by this. So if you use it, reach out to me, tell me. I love hearing about that. If you are curious, you can check it out there. So as you can probably tell from this log, I'm a giant nerd and I track a lot of aspects of my reading. But what about you, Erica? Do you track your reading? From year to year?
Barely more than the basic, like, Goodreads. Yeah. I feel almost embarrassed to say that in front of you because you have this.
No, like, it's okay.
Well, you see, I feel like I keep a mental note kind of like what books I've read, what kind of books I've read, like, if the authors are of color or queer, anything like that. I feel like I should use, I think to use the reading tracker, like I was thinking of using it last year when we were talking about it. I think I actually will use it this time though, because when I was summarizing like my favorite books of the year, like all of them were like science fiction and fantasy. And I was like, I should read more. I need to diversify my genres actually. That's where I need to divert. Like, I read plenty of... Well, I also do a newsletter for books by and about authors of color. So I read a lot of, you know, that. Just diverse authors. So I already have that ingrained. And queer authors, too. So I think I need to read more nonfiction as a start.
That's one of the reasons why I actually really got into tracking not just my reading, but like the statistical, essentials about each book was because I wanted to read more diversely. And like, yeah, you can be like, oh, I'm going to create a TBR list and I'm going to, seek out more diverse literature. But I think we kind of lull ourselves into this like sense of like, because I want to do this and because, I want to figure, I want to do this and I care about this. We almost kind of think that we read more diversely than we actually do. And so it was really eye-opening to me the first year that I started to track like the race of the authors that I read.
I would,
if you had asked me beforehand, I would have said, oh yeah, I read diversely. I read diverse books. And then like, to see the actual percentage like stare me in the face as I moved along, I was like, oh, I do read diversely, but not as much as I'd like to be or as I should be. So the nice thing about keeping track of that with the spreadsheet is that like you can just kind of like check in every month or so and be like, am I still on track? And like, you know, I have like a number that I try to kind of stick around as far as percentages, just because, you know, and so like some people have been like, oh, that's like takes the joy out of reading. But I'm like, it really doesn't, because there are so many great books in the world that sometimes if I'm like, oh, you know, I haven't read as many books by like, you know, Black authors or Indigenous authors this year as I keep saying I want to read. And if I check in and see that like that number is lower than what I'd like it to be, I just go to my TBR, which is full of all sorts of books that I want to read. And rather than like pick up a book by a white author, I pick up something by like a Black author. And like, it's really as simple as that for me. So it's just, it helps kind of keep it at the forefront of my mind, because publishing still is not very equitable.
Yeah. And it sounds too like it helps you figure out what to read next. Yeah. Which is also a thing with people who read a lot and have massive TBRs. It's helpful to figure out what you want to read next, because by the time it's time to read your next book, you probably will have forgotten a few in your TBR.
Yeah.
I like too that it has a DNF, which is a did not finish category, because like you can make that category say on Goodreads, but I feel like I don't like how it's handled. I feel like it should have its own subsection, because sometimes I look back and I'm like, how come I haven't read more books? I'm like, I'm like, I thought I've been reading more than this, you know, whatever this is. I'm like, oh, I didn't finish a couple ones. Mm-hmm. So it's like helpful to see that also, like for me, of course, this is individual, of course. But yeah, sometimes I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah, that one was really boring, or I didn't like where it was going and I put it down, but I did spend time reading it. So I want to include that. That's just a minor thing that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Like I said, I haven't used the reading log yet, but there's a lot of good stuff on here. I'm just flipping through.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is too, like, people can definitely take what they want from it and use it that way. And then like whatever you don't want to use, you don't have to use. So, and sometimes like I've had people like look at it and be like, oh my God, this is so intense. Like, it's so amazing that you fill this out every year. And I'm like, what you need to understand is that for me, filling this out is part of like, it's like a hobby that is almost separate from actually reading. Like, I'm really into it. If like you are not into it, like you don't have to do all this. For years,
just read the reading log,
right? For years before I did like a digital sheets based log, I would record every book I read in a notebook. And I had this notebook for like almost 10 years, and it was an amazing notebook because it had like literally every book that I had read for like, I think 8 or 9 years. And I love this notebook. Wow. Yeah. And it was like amazing to me that in like 8 or 9 years, I never once lost it.
Is amazing.
I know. Right. I took it with me everywhere though. And I always had hands on it, and I loved looking and seeing all the books that I read. And I used to just do title, author, and date finished. That was all I did for many years. But then came the day that I lost the notebook, and I was like devastated. Yeah, I was like, God. I still like, I'm like sort of feeling some feelings as I'm thinking about the loss of this notebook. Yes. Like basically every book that I had read since 2008 or 2009. And so after that, I was like, oh my God, no, I've got to do something in the cloud. It's got to be, and not just like digital. Cause like if I lost the file or something, I'd be equally devastated, but like it has to be in the cloud where like it cannot be lost. And so that's when I switched over to this log. And then like, I was inspired by some other Book Riot people, and it just kind of exploded from there. So, anywho, that's my soothing like New Year ritual, is setting up a new reading log and filling it out.
That's amazing. Also, one last note on Tears's wonderful reading log. There is a Read Harder Challenge tab worked into it, so you can also click off if you're following along that challenge. You can click off. There's just a whole bunch of good stuff in here. So
Yeah.
Highly recommend. And I'm going to watch the video that you have later also where you talk about how to set it up.
Awesome.
I'm going to get the most out of it this year.
Yeah.
Or this. Yeah. Well, it's still 2022, but this year when this episode airs, it will be 2023.
Yes.
But yes. So speaking of 2023, we have some of our most anticipated YA novels and nonfiction that will be released in 2023. But before we get into that, let's hear from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Song of the Silk's Realms by Judy I. Lin. Xu Wei is a talented young musician who was orphaned at a young age. Her sole family is a kindly uncle, but then her uncle is killed, and she is, of course, devastated. With no family and no patron, Xu Wei is facing the possibility of a lifetime of servitude playing the qin. Then one night, she is unexpectedly called to perform for the enigmatic Duke Meng. He surprises Xu Wei further with an irresistible offer. Serve as a musician in residence at his manor for 1 year, and he'll set her free of her indenture. But the Duke's motives become increasingly more sus when he and Xu Wei barely survive an attack by a nightmarish monster. It's like, what? What's going on here? So this book is a sweeping epic romantasy that follows a talented young musician who is swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke. And who doesn't want to be swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke? She's living all our dreams, honestly. Make sure to check out the new book. And thanks again to Song of the Six Realms by Judy I. Lin for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Sourcebooks Landmark. So King Solomon says something very interesting to his son before he dies, and that is, quote, "Don't let the white man take the house," end quote. These, as I just mentioned, are King Solomon's last words to his son as he dies. Now, all four Solomon siblings must return to North Carolina to save the kingdom, their ancestral home, and 200 acres of land from a development company. Told in alternating viewpoints, Long After We Are Gone by Tara Shelton Harris is a searing portrait of the power of family and letting go of things that no longer serve you, exploring the burden of familial expectations, the detriment of miscommunication, and the lessons and legacies we pass on to our children. It's an explosive and emotional story of four siblings, each fighting their own personal battle, because who isn't, who return home in the wake of their father's death. Make sure to check out Long After We Are Gone by Tara Shelton Harris, and thanks again to Sourcebooks Landmark for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, so I know we were talking, Tirza, about how there are so many good books coming out, so many, that it was hard just looking through the list that you and Liberty compile on Book Riot's Insiders, the new release index. I kept getting caught up, and I was like, maybe I should spread some of these, like, as far as release dates go. I was like, maybe I should look ahead, but I was like, ooh, but no, that sounds good. Ooh, but no, that sounds good. And I was just like, I think the furthest I went was like March. Honestly, it's just there's so many new books coming out that sound really good.
There are, and it's so hard to just, you know, try to, in 1 hour, talk about all the books that we're excited about that are really only coming out in the first half of 2023, because there is not a lot of like copy and cover releases for the second half of 2023. So we'll probably have to do another episode later in the year that covers the fall and winter. But yeah, there's so many great books coming out just in the next couple of months. Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited. So many. Whew. Because there was like, you know, and I guess it's understandable as far as publishing goes. There's kind of like a, you know, kind of a sleepy period. But we're coming out of that. We are coming out of that sleepy period where it's like, not, there aren't too many things coming out. But yeah. So I guess I can start us off.
Yeah.
The first one I have is, I believe this is a YA debut from Talia Hibbert.
Yeah.
But I might have to double check that, because Talia Hibbert, and I'm just thinking of like,
I'm pretty sure it's their YA debut. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I think you're right. Talia Hibbert. I love Talia Hibbert. I've read all of their, well, not all of their books. They have quite a few. I've read all of the Brown Sisters trilogy, and I loved it. Yes. So it was super spicy, though, too. So I'm like, all right, what are we going to do for YA? I believe in them, though, so I'm excited. So in their other books, they do such a good job. Well, first of all, they have diverse characters. Diverse characters with different body types, and some are neurodivergent. There are characters that are dealing with mental health issues, and I feel like Talia's characters, the romance in them, I feel like it's mostly like supportive and like non-toxic, which is always nice. So I really like that aspect. It's just like, it just feels good. It feels real, and I've really enjoyed reading their romance. So the book, Highly Suspicious and Unfairly Cute. And I was like, okay, like sometimes I feel highly suspicious and unfairly cute. like that's a mood. This is coming out. It's expected to come out in January. So by the time this episode airs, it may already be out. But basically, it's about Bradley, who is like seen as this kind of like perfect student. He's a football player. He has OCD. He manages it. He comes out in his classes as like, you know, the best in class, basically. And then there's Celine, who is his ex-best friend. Celine is super into conspiracies. She's like into UFOs and all that stuff, which is fun. She's not exactly popular, which I'm sure you couldn't tell because the UFO thing, but which is why Bradley has not like interacted with her as much as before, because I guess people see her as a little weird. Whatever. So now they're like, because of their previous relationship, they're like a little petty towards each other, and there is a rivalry between them as far as like grades and stuff goes. But then Celine signs up for a survival course in the woods, and then surprise, surprise, Brad is right there with her. So they have to work as a team to win a prize, and they have to contend with the woods around them, the mud and the bugs and everything, as well as their history, basically. So it sounds fun. I like the outdoorsy aspect. Mostly, I didn't even have to look at the synopsis. I was like, it's Talia Hibbert. I'm about to read it. Like, let's be real here. So I'm super excited about this one. Highly Suspicious and Unfairly Cute by Talia Hibbert.
Yeah, such a great title.
Yes, seriously.
My next or first pick is Break Up From Hell by Anne Davila Cardinal. And disclaimer, we share an editor. So but that is not why I am excited about this book. It is about a girl who she meets a guy, and he's very handsome and mysterious and cute, and they start dating. But once they start dating, bad stuff starts happening, and she realizes that this is probably not a good relationship for me. And I mean like bad stuff in like the supernatural sense. And so she decides that she has to break up with him. But if she breaks up with him, things could get a lot worse. So I'm really excited for this book. Like, I love Anne's writing. She's a great writer. She's written adult fiction and YA fiction, but this one just looks really like fun, but also looks like it'd take you to some interesting places. I've not read it yet, but it is on my list. So that's Break Up From Hell by Anne Davila Cardinal.
That does sound spicy. Oh my goodness. So the next one I have is The Buried and the Bound by Rochelle Hassan. And so in it, Aziza is the only hedge witch in Blackthorn, Massachusetts. And Leo is, he's, you know, familiar with magical things, kind of like bad magical things. And on his 16th birthday, there's a curse that was dormant that becomes active with his birthday. And so now he has all his memories are torn apart from him of his true love, basically. So he's been traveling down the East Coast looking for a way to get his memories back, and he is not successful, basically. So he makes a deal with Aziza. He will help her on these nightly patrols that she does to keep all of these, like, you know, dark magical beings at bay. There are fairies and flesh-eating shadows and fae, you know, various fae shenanigans going on. So he's going to help her with that in exchange for her help in breaking his curse. So I think it sounds super interesting. This is another one that I have not read. I have not read this author either. This is a YA debut, actually, from them, but I haven't read them, period. So I think it sounds super interesting. The cover looks cool, and it sounds like a fun intro to what I believe will be a trilogy. So I'm super excited about it. Again, it's The Buried and the Bound by Rochelle Hassan.
Yeah, that one is also on my highly anticipated list. Yes. My next pick is All That's Left to Say by Emery Lord. And this is about a girl who tragically loses her cousin, who's like her best friend, her favorite person in the world, to an overdose. And so her cousin went to this fancy private school, and Hannah, the protagonist, decides to enroll in this private school to try to figure out, like, what happened to her cousin, like, who was responsible for giving her those drugs, like, what caused her to, like, go down this path. And of course, she finds that answers are not easy or clear or necessarily clarifying in the situation. And of course, this is also a really hard time for her because she's grieving the death of her cousin. So it looks like it's got a little bit of a mystery to it, but knowing that it's an Emery Lord book, it's going to be wonderfully, like, emotional and yeah, just all the good stuff, all the feels, basically. Mm-hmm. So that is All That's Left to Say by Emery Lord.
Awesome. That sounds really good. This next one I have is Wild Blood by Lauren Blackwood. And this has a lot going on. It's SFF, as is typical for me. But this is like, it's like, okay, whoa. So Victoria is what's called a wild blood. She's 18 now, but she was kidnapped when she was 6 and manipulated by this company called the Exotic Lands Touring Company, where she has worked as a tour guide ever since. With a team of other wildbloods so basically they have magic and they can protect travelers who are traveling in Jamaican jungles that have all of these, like, wicked beasties, wicked magical beasties or whatever. So Victoria is expecting this promotion, but she gets overlooked for it in favor of her ex Dean, and Dean is a piece of work. Okay, he's like backstabbed her and he is just, you know, a piece of work, basically. So she still wants to try to prove herself, and she's got, like, the most powerful magic, but like I said, Dean's taken her place and she's not quite the image that their boss wants to have representing the company, I guess. So then they get this new client, Thorn, a gold miner, and Thorn is, like, super handsome and he seems very nice and he's confident and stuff like that, and he trusts Victoria to lead him through the jungle safely, and she tries to, but the jungle is a trip and there are all these, like, very interesting sounding creatures in it that I'm suspecting come from, like, Caribbean and Jamaican mythology and lore. So I'm excited to read about them. There are, like, these hypnotic river spirits. There are soul devouring women who shed their skin like snakes. I'm just reading the description from the blurb because I'm like, wow, okay. So yeah. So she has to basically decide, like, okay, is this the company that I want to stay with? Which I think is a valid question. But yeah, it sounds like an interesting adventure with some very interesting magical creatures. So that is Wild Blood by Lauren Blackwood.
Yes, her first book was quite interesting. So I'm excited for this one as well. All right. My next pick is The Lake House by Sarah Beth Durst. And just like as an aside, Sarah Beth Durst is an incredibly prolific author. Just like puts out so many books, like kids, teen, adult books every year. It's kind of incredible. Her newest one is a thriller called The Lake House. It is about Claire, who is a very like anxious person who thinks like the worst case scenario is always going to happen. And then it finally does one day when she arrives late at summer camp, and it's kind of like one of those off the grid, way out in the middle of nowhere summer camps. And so she's late and she shows up, and the whole place has been burned to the ground. And there are two other late arrivals who also show up, and they're all like, what the heck? But you know, they're now stranded out here in the middle of nowhere, and something terrible has happened. There seems to be no survivors. But then as they're kind of poking about trying to figure out what to do, they discover a body in the woods. And then they realize like, oh no, this was intentional. Like somebody came here to kill everybody. And we just like happened to survive because we showed up late, but now we are also in danger. So sounds fun, right? I'm excited to read it. It sounds like a fun premise. So I think it'll be great. It is The Lake House by Sarah Beth Durst.
Nice. Oof, that does sound really good. I've got a thriller as well. I think it's not as, I don't feel like it's as like potentially lethal as that one, but it is My Flawless Life by Yvonne Woon. And this is about Hannah Yang Lerner, who is known as a fixer at her elite private school in Washington, D.C., and basically whenever anyone has a problem, they contact Hannah and she fixes it. She has like connects, she knows people to call, what to say, all these extra things. Like I think like if you watch Scandals, I guess she's like Olivia Pope or something, but like at a private school in DC. And I'm like, more power to you, girl, because when I was in high school, I was not, I was just trying to make it. All right. So she is this fixer. So she can fix other people's lives, but of course hers is a mess. And her reputation gets totally messed up when her dad, who was a senator, his name is Skip Lerner. So I was combining his name with his profession. So Senator Skip Lerner gets arrested for an accident where a person nearly died. So I haven't read this book, so I'm not sure of the details, but basically her reputation gets ruined from that and her friends ditch her. So I'm curious to see what it was that, you know, because I'm like, if it's a car accident, I feel like, is that enough to blame her too? But we'll see. I'm intrigued. So despite everyone leaving her and her reputation being in the trenches, she gets a job from an anonymous client who calls themselves 3, like the number. And they request that she follows her ex-best friend. And Hannah does it because she's like, all right, I can like kind of regain, start to, you know, claw my way back to how my life was before. But as she starts digging, you know, unearthing things, there are some dark truths that become unearthed about her and also her classmates who are seemingly these like perfect people. So it sounds very mysterious, very like, I don't know, it just sounds really intriguing. And I'm curious to see what these elite private school kids have in their closet. So that is My Flawless Life by Yvonne Woon.
Nice. I had not heard of that one. So that one sounds great. Mm-hmm. My next pick is When the Vibe is Right by Sarah Das. This is I mean, I really loved Sarah Doss's first book. It came out 2 years ago. It is a retelling of Persuasion. So this one is also set in Trinidad, which is where the her first book is set. And it is about Tess, who wants to be a carnival costume designer. And that is sort of challenged when there's some family rivalries, there's some interesting, you know, friendship to lover to enemy sort of situation going on. I just think that it sounds really great. I really liked the setting of her first book, Where the Rhythm Takes You, so I'm excited to return, and I really enjoyed her contemporary writing, so this just looks like it is going to be a fun enemies to lovers romance. I also don't think I've ever read anything set during Carnival, so that's going to be fun.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. When the Vibe is Right by Sarah Doss.
That's also another great title.
Yeah.
Vibe, you know, the vibe, things depend on the vibe. So I feel you.
Mm-hmm. It's a great title.
So I'm totally taking the vibe elsewhere with this next book. It is titled She Is a Haunting by Trang Tan Tran. And I keep reading these like gothic novels that are very reminiscent of Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. Huh. I still haven't finished Rebecca.
I love Rebecca.
So shame on me for that. I think I would like it because I like all the books that like come from it. So Dyer could get your life. But they've, you know, so like Mexican Gothic by Sylvia Moreno Garcia, not a YA book, but was super popular. And then I read another one called The Hacienda, also not a YA book. They also, but they, a lot of them have the same or similar formula, but I always like it. I still like it. Cause it's like, even though I know it's like, okay, the house is haunted, we know that, but it's like, why is the house haunted? What happened? So in She Is a Haunting, Jade Nguyen arrives in Vietnam. She is trying to, she has the goal basically of kind of like pretending to be cool with her estranged father. He's trying to restore this French colonial house. So she's thinking like, all right, so for the next 5 weeks, she's going to pretend to be straight. She's going to pretend that she likes everyone. She's going to pretend to be very American, but also very Vietnamese. She's just going to pretend to be everything to everybody and, you know, try to win people over. She has no problem with lying. She just wants to fit in. But the house is like, no, girl. She wakes up paralyzed every day. There's this thrumming sound coming from the house. There are bugs that are turning up in weird places. And I thought this was super interesting. She finds traces of her ancestors in gardens and areas that they once like tended to. So I was like, okay. And then there's also a ghost who warns her to not eat anything. So, So her father, neither her father nor her sister say that they have noticed anything weird happening. So she has to outsource like help in basically proving that there's something wrong with this house. So I am super interested. It sounds like super duper up my alley. Like I said, I love gothic, gothic books, and I'm excited to see like the Vietnamese aspect that this one will bring. So this just sounds like super duper interesting, and the cover is A1, I have to say. Again, this is She Is a Haunting by Trang Tan Tran.
Awesome. All right, I'm going to tell you about my next book, but first let's hear from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Charming, easygoing, and rich, Xavier Castillo has the world at his fingertips. He also has no interest in taking over his family's empire, but that hasn't stopped women from throwing themselves at him. Unless, of course, the woman in question is his publicist. The cool, the intelligent, the ambitious Sloane Kensington, who is a high-powered publicist who's used to dealing with difficult clients, but none infuriate or tempt her more than a certain billionaire heir with his stupid dimples and laid-back attitude. She may be forced to work with him, but she'll never fall for him because he's a client and that's all he'll ever be. Right? Right, girl. Like, we all know. So, just in case you didn't know, author Anna Wong is the best-selling author and book talk viral author of the Twisted Love series, the King of Sin series. Miss Wong, gotta going on, okay? Make sure to check out King of Sloth by Anna Wong. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Avid Reader Press. So this next book is a really fun sounding mashup of different genres. There's a little time travel, a little romance, a little spy thriller action going on. So in the near future, a civil servant is offered the salary of her dreams and is shortly afterward told what project she'll be working on. A recently established government ministry is gathering quote unquote expats from across history to establish whether time travel is feasible for the body, but also for the fabric of space-time. This is an exquisitely original and feverishly fun fusion of genres and ideas. The Ministry of Time by Colleen Bradley asks, what does it mean to defy history when history is living in your house? Colleen Bradley's answer is a blazing, unforgettable testament to what we owe each other in a changing world. It kind of gives Outlander meets Cloud Atlas, or if The Time Traveler's Wife was written by Sally Rooney or Colson Whitehead. Make sure to check out The Ministry of Time by Colleen Bradley. And thanks again to Avid Reader Press for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, so my next pick is Wolfwood by Mariana Bayer. And this is a book about a girl whose mother is an artist, like a very famous artist, but she unfortunately had a mental breakdown and has mostly stopped painting. And that has put them in a very precarious financial position. So when this gallery comes along and is like, hey, you know, if you finish this series of like really interesting sort of fantastical paintings, like we'll do a gallery showing, we'll give you lots of money. The protagonist is basically like, yes, this is finally our chance for stability, but her mom refuses. And so she's really desperate. So she decides, I will finish the series of paintings for my mother and she won't ever know. And that way, you know, we can get back on our feet and nobody has to know. But there's a reason why her mom stopped painting. And it's because every time she picks up the paintbrush to sort of paint this like Wolfwood jungle, it's very dangerous and magical. She finds herself like actually sort of slipping into Wolfwood. And so it's like this, yeah, it's like this fantasy type situation and it's dangerous and it's getting harder and harder to basically keep fantasy and reality separated. And so she also has to keep secret the fact that she's basically forging her mother's artwork. So this sounds fantastic. And I know that the author, Mariana Bayer, has actually worked in like fine art galleries in New York. And so she definitely knows what she's talking about. And I also really enjoyed her previous two YA novels. I think I talked about Frost, her first. It's a YA horror novel set in a boarding school. I think we talked about that one in the fall. And then she has she has another really great one called The Inconceivable Life of Quinn, which is about a girl who finds herself pregnant, but she has, like, to her knowledge, never had sex. And so she's like, what the heck? And and that also has like a magical element to it that's really interesting and intriguing. So I have loved Mariana Bayer's first two books. They come out like once every 5 to 7 years, but they're usually worth the wait. So I'm really excited for Wolfwood. And the cover is gorgeous. So definitely hop on that. Yes.
It sounds super interesting. You know, that's right up my alley.
Indeed.
It sounds super good. I just wanted to look at the cover.
That's so pretty.
That is so pretty. I love it. Wow.
Yeah. It's like this dark haired girl. She's like painting. And then all around her is like this really colorful sort of fantastical landscape, I guess. It's really beautiful.
It's very pretty. Like, yeah, I love that. Ooh, So last one I have for now is the Some of Us. It's an adapted book for young readers, meaning there is an adult version, I guess, basically. Subtitle is How Racism Hurts Everyone. It's by Heather McGee. And as I said, I need to read more nonfiction. I need to read more nonfiction, period. Like, I'm so terrible with that. So this is me trying to make a concerted effort to read more nonfiction, putting it on my list now. So this book is, as I mentioned before, it is an adaptation for her book, The Sum of Us. So basically, it's just adapted for younger readers. And I like that it has a conversation surrounding race and discrimination that shows how it's not beneficial for anyone. Like, it's harmful for people who are directly being discriminated against, like people of color, Black people, Indigenous people, et cetera, et cetera. But also for white people. Like, that's one thing. It's like all of the isms, all of the discriminations, racism, sexism, ableism, homophobia, all of those things are detrimental to everyone. So I like things that frame the conversation around how we all need to fight this because it hurts everyone and holds everyone back. And they're all connected. As I've said before, I haven't read any of these books yet, but I hope that she ties the other isms into it as well. The ones that I just mentioned. So also it's good that I like that it's adapted for people that read within the YA category to help with, you know, younger readers being introduced to this rhetoric and just talking about these important things. So once again, it's The Sum of Us, How Racism Hurts Everyone, adapted for young readers by Heather McGee.
Yeah, that sounds really great. Thank you so much for bringing that one up. I'm adding that one to my list. My final pick is You're Not Supposed to Die Tonight by Kaylin Bayron, who is the author of Cinderella is Dead and this Poison Heart, which I really loved. So this is a horror book. It comes out in June, so we have to wait a little bit. It doesn't even have a cover yet, I don't think. So it is basically about this girl named Charity who plays a final girl at this place called Camp Mirror Lake, which is like basically, it sounds like horror LARPing. that's what it sounds like. Like you pay to go to this camp and they like take you through like a horror movie type experience. And she I think that's what it is.
That
like,
is horror LARPing basically. Yeah.
That sounds what I like it is. Yeah. I haven't read it yet, obviously, but that's what I'm getting from the summary. Mm-hmm. And so, and she plays the final girl. So if you are not familiar with like horror tropes, like the final girl is like exactly what it sounds like, the final girl to like survive to the end of a horror movie. And that's Charity's role. And she loves doing this. She thinks it's really fun. She and her coworkers and friends, they just like recreate these scenes from this classic horror movie. At Butcher Set, at this setting. So then, unfortunately, it's the last weekend of the season and her coworkers start disappearing and then she finds a dead body. And she's like, oh no, I might do this for fun, but like, I don't want to do this for real. But she's got to. Also, I love that, she's got a girlfriend, so there's some queer rep. And basically, they need to figure out how to survive the night and figure out what this killer actually wants. So it sounds kind of like, you know, if you like horror with like maybe a little bit of camp, this is probably going to be a good choice. So I'm really excited for it. It is You're Not Supposed to Die Tonight by Kaylin Bayron.
More than one kind of camp. I feel like that was corny. I'm sorry.
It got me though. I laughed.
I feel like it's interesting. That kind of sounds like a Stephen Graham Jones novel, which is also not YA. But it's just like, you know, looking at these horror tropes and like going like going off of that. It'll be interesting. This is an aside, but it'll be interesting to see. Like, I feel like these books that are, you know, exploring horror tropes and stuff, I feel like a lot of those horror tropes came from, like, you know, 15 or more years ago, like the camp, the final girl, and, you know, different other things. So I wonder what will be the tropes that, like, the new horror tropes. So yeah. just a thought as you were speaking, I was like, I wonder what they are. Like, what horror tropes are is our generation, like, getting in our horror movies? You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know if I've noticed a trend yet, but.
That's a good question. Yeah. And maybe something we can ponder as we
get
ready for our next horror episode.
Exactly. We should definitely discuss that. Because now I'm like, hearing you talk about that, I was like, I wonder what it is. Because that was giving very much like 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
Like at the camp and people dying and final girls.
There's so much nostalgia, I think, especially like in the horror like genre right now. Like, when you think about like Stranger Things and Grady Hendrix's wonderful books, which are like set in the 80s and the 90s, like, it's interesting to see, like, somebody who's probably a better horror reader and smarter person than me could probably talk about like why there seems to be so much nostalgia tied up with the horror genre, but it is interesting to kind of see.
Yeah, that's, I think you said like kind of what I was trying to get at way better than I did, because it's like, I feel like our generation, like the horror, I don't feel like we have a trope, like horror tropes that are particular to us that we're looking back. So that is interesting. Also, I will parrot what you said. I am definitely not a super big horror reader, so I don't have a nuanced take on it, just an observation. But yeah, super interesting.
It is. Oh, well, I think that's pretty much like all of the books that we had like set out, except for I did want to shout out a couple of sequels, because I didn't really include any sequels most anticipated, but I do have a few sequels / companion novels that I'm really excited about. So if you allow me a second, I'm going to tell you about those real quick. Mysteries of Thorn Manor by Margaret Rogerson is a novella sequel to Sorcery of Thorns. It looks delightful. Sorcerer of Thorns was like one of my favorite YA fantasies in the most recent years. So it is kind of what happens to these beloved characters after the end of Sorcery of Thorns, which is a pretty good standalone book. But it does have an ending that makes you go, oh my God, I just want more. So I was delighted to hear that she returned to these characters and we get more. Although I am sad that it's a novella and not a full length book, I will admit. My next anticipated read is Every Gift a Curse by Caroline O'Donohue, and I think I've talked in several episodes this past year about how much I really loved Caroline O'Donohue's All Our Hidden Gifts and The Gifts That Bind Us. It is an Irish set sort of magical trilogy about a girl who discovers a tarot deck and her best friend goes missing. There's a mysterious tarot card that should not belong in the deck. And it's like a magical awakening for her. It's really fantastic. I love the first two books. The third one comes out this spring. Do not love the cover, but I'm so excited for this book. I'm going to snatch it right up. And then the other one that I'm really excited about is Some Shall Break by Ellie Marnie, which is the sequel to None Shall Sleep, which came out a couple of years ago. And I read this because fellow book writer and All the Books co-host Liberty Hardy described this book to me as Silence of the Baby Lambs, because it's basically... it's set in the 80s, and again, we're talking about 80s or like nostalgia horror. It's set in the 80s, and it's about two teenagers who've had a brush with serial killers and survived. And the FBI recruits them as interns in their behavioral analysis I don't think it's called behavioral analysis unit. I've been watching a lot of Criminal Minds lately, though. So that's what popped into my mind. But it's like their behavioral analysis team has recruited these two teens to help them try to get into the head of a new serial killer who has emerged, and he's a teenager. So that they know that he's a teenager, and they're like, we need help kind of understanding the minds of teenagers and like this teenage serial killer. And again, it's the 80s. So they rely on these two teens to kind of help them figure that out. And of course, it gets dangerous and deadly. So I had no idea that there was going to be a sequel, because I thought that the way the first book ended felt pretty final to me. So I was super pumped when Liberty told me that Some Shall Break was coming out, and it's coming out pretty soon. So I'm excited for that one. So those are my sequels and companions that I am excited about.
Those sound really good. I already looked up both of them and added them to my Goodreads.
Yay! Excellent. It's like my work here is done.
Yes. You're like, yes, mission accomplished. Oh my gosh. Yes, so many good books, though. You know, so many.
We're going to have a very busy year ahead of us, but I'm excited for that.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely.
As much as we'd love to keep talking about all the books that we're excited to read, we should probably, you know, end this episode so we can go read all of the books that we're excited to read. And we're just, you know, running out of time. But thank you so much for hanging out with us. Please feel free to leave us feedback about the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, because it lets us know how we're doing, but it also helps others find us. And you can always email us at heyya@bookriot.com with feedback, requests, recommendations. We love hearing from you. Don't forget to visit bookriot.com for newsletters, more podcasts, and of course, all things bookish. Thank you again to today's sponsors for making the show possible. And thanks as always to our awesome audio editor, Jen Zink. You can follow me on Instagram, and I guess I'm still on Twitter, but mostly on Instagram at Tears of Price. How about you, Erica?
I guess I'm still on Twitter as well, @Erica_EZE_.
You know, I logged into Twitter for like the first time the other day, and I was like, oh, we're still here. People are still hanging out. Okay.
It's still there. Apparently there was some, well, we don't get into that. I'll tell you that later. But yes, it's still kicking. Still there.
Yeah. Elon Musk is terrible, but the community is great. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at right now, but I'm not on there very often. All right.
Pretty much.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you again in 2 weeks. Until then, happy reading.
Happy reading.